Mother's Day, it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing. It was God's idea. God's idea to honor moms, to give you today special attention, because it's His idea to honor you. Look at this quote for just a second. Rest. Of the many different types of people who gather together in Christian worship each week, one group deserves special attention. Those who come to the Lord with a questioning heart and in need of rest. That wasn't a Mother's Day message introduction. That was in the commentary I used for the passage we're in today in Matthew chapter 11. But if that's not an appropriate introduction to a Mother's Day message, I don't know what is. Because moms, we recognize you have questions and you are in need of rest. No doubt. And so my prayer for this morning is this, that if you're a mom here today, that you will hear Jesus. And I mean that in all the literalness that you can imagine. That there's a communication in your spirit where you hear truth, where you hear words of truth, and you know, you have no doubt, they're from your good shepherd who is speaking to you, Jesus. And so He wants to encourage you today to rest. Because He knows you have questions and He knows you need rest. Fascinating background to the word rest. The English word comes from the word mile. That's the root of the English word rest. It's mile. You get it though, don't you? After you run a mile, what do you need to do? You need to pause. Yes, oxygen, yes. After you run a mile, you need to pause. After you have strenuous activity, you need to pause. You need to rest. You need to refresh. Rest is from the word mile. Moms, you're running miles all the time. You're running laps. You're putting forward strenuous activity, stressful activity. And there needs to be pause in your life. There needs to be rest. The Greek word actually means pause. The word rest actually comes from the Greek word pause. There needs to be a pause where there's refreshment coming. And that's what Jesus speaks about in Matthew chapter 11. The first thing that moms need to do, what I encourage you to do today, moms, bring your questions and your expectations to Jesus. Bring all your questions, the hard ones, the challenging ones, the ones that get you angry. Bring them all to Jesus. Bring your expectations to Him, because that's what John the Baptist did. John the Baptist, one of the great forerunners, the forerunner of Jesus in a very particular way, had questions. Matthew 11, first three verses. After Jesus had finished instructing His 12 disciples, He had just called them together and said, "Now, all right, guys, fellas, go, probably in twos, and speak to this world about my good news and who I am. The kingdom is near. Let them know that." So after instructing His 12 disciples, He went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. That's in the northern part of Israel, north of Jerusalem. So when John the Baptist, who was in prison, as prophets tended to end up sometimes, prophets were men and women who often spoke hard truth, especially to leaders. And Herod didn't like John the Baptist, and Herod put him in prison. So John is in prison. John the Baptist is in prison at this time. He heard about the deeds of the Messiah, Jesus, the promised one. The one who was to bring in this new kingdom, the Messiah, Jesus. John sent his disciples probably about 100 miles on foot to get to Jesus. Not a next door kind of thing. He sent his disciples to Jesus to ask him, are you really the Messiah? I've got questions. Are you the one who's to come, or should we expect someone else? You see, John, in all of his knowledge of the word and what Elijah was about, and they were close and similar, this was not what he was expecting. John had some questions, some very significant questions. As one writer put it, events were not unfolding as anticipated. Does that not describe motherhood? Events are not unfolding as anticipated. Every mother comes into motherhood with a set of expectations, anticipations, certain things that they're thinking about. It doesn't always unfold like you expect them to. You know that full well. It happens early on. If you're at the front end of motherhood, you've got questions. And no doubt things are already not playing out like you anticipated them to. Our precious Anna, when we walked into this adventure, we didn't anticipate the blessings that God's given us in her. You might be in the middle. You might be right in the thick of it. You've been at it for a while. And it's not unfolding like you anticipated. There's some challenges that you never dreamed of. You might be at the later end of motherhood. You might be parenting adult children. You might be a grandmother. And things are not unfolding as you anticipated. And that's pretty painful often. So you have questions. Cindy and I were speaking with a friend not too long ago. Lives in a different part of the country, doesn't come to Christ Community Church. She was speaking about her daughter's wedding. That wedding looked nothing like she thought it was going to look like. And she confided, and she said, when I can remember holding my daughter, looking at her and anticipating the day she might get married, and I didn't see this. It was really challenging. Moms, you have questions. No matter where you are, you're dealing with unmet expectations. Things are not playing out like you wanted them to, what you were expecting them to. But Psalm 62:8 is a strong word for us. Let's take a look at Psalm 62:8 for you in particular, moms. Moms, even when and especially when things don't turn out the way that you anticipate, trust in Him at all times. You people, you moms, pour out your hearts to Him, for God is your strong place. When there's no other strong place in this world, there's no other refuge, safety, God is, and He hasn't changed. So pour out your heart to Him. Don't go it alone. Don't have the, I'm just going to buck up. I'm going to handle this. I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I'm independent. No. Pour out your heart to Him. He's a refuge for you. Trust Him. But when you pour out your heart to Him and you ask questions, that can kind of be a scary thing sometimes to God. Because there's people in our life, when we've asked them honest questions, they've not responded real well. So we're a little gun shy for right reasons when we ask hard questions sometimes. So John asked Jesus the hard question, are you really the Messiah, or am I completely mistaken? Anticipate compassion. Anticipate a compassionate reminder from Jesus when you ask Him hard questions, because that's what John got. Verses 4 through 6, Jesus replied to John's disciples, go back, report to John what you hear and see. There's not a condemnation. There's not a strong rebuke. He said, no, go back and tell John what you've seen. The blind have received sight. The lame have walked. Those who have had leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised. The good news is being proclaimed to the poor. He's saying to John, John, keep in mind, you're looking at the early reign, so to speak, of the fullness of the kingdom that the Messiah is going to bring. The Messiah never was going to bring the fullness at the first. He's going to bring the early reign, the first indications of it. The fullness is coming later. But right now, you do see early reign. You are seeing the work of the new kingdom. It's coming. It's here. That's what Jesus is up to. That's what I'm up to. Don't lose sight of that. But then he says, blessed or really happy, deeply joyful is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. That's just a tint of a mild rebuke to John, a mild encouragement to him. Jesus is saying, John, don't stumble from what your physical eyes see. If your only estimation of what God is up to as far as his kingdom is solely on what your physical eyes see right now, that's going to trip you up. You're going to be in trouble from what you see with your physical eyes, because that's not the whole story. The fullness of the kingdom is coming one day. It is coming. Right now, you're just seeing the early rains. So, John, don't trip up on that. What does that have to do with us? When you as a mom are bringing your questions to Jesus, you don't see it all, keep in mind that he's going to say, trust me. You're only seeing a season of what I'm up to right now. There's a fullness of what God I'm up to in your circumstances. You'll see it one day, but not now. So don't get tripped up on your ability to trust me or your willingness to trust me from what you see here and now today. That'll trip you up. Trust me that I am bringing the fullness of the kingdom. So there's a compassion response to Jesus, but there's also a challenge to us, to you moms, to us. Don't get tripped up by what we only see today. But also, moms, when you bring your questions, when you really wrestle with questions and expectations, be prepared and embrace and hear a well done. Because what does Jesus do now to the people that are listening? He gives a tribute to John. He just asks these questions, but he gives a tribute to John. He says, as John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? Where John first ministered. A reed swayed by the wind? I don't think so. If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. I tell you, you saw a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you and will prepare your way before you. And truly, I tell you, among those born of woman, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet even those who are least in the kingdom of heaven, because there's this amazing level ground before God, is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. He's speaking to the difficult times that John's in. Herod was a violent man. Herod was coming against the gospel, against the Messiah, against Jesus. In a violent way. That's why John was in prison. Herod did not accept the right thinking that John projected to him. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And if you're willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who is to come. The ministry of John the Baptist and Elijah had a lot of similarities. Whoever has ears, let him hear. And this is the tribute to John. Yes, he's in prison, but Jesus says, listen to him. When John as the prophet speaks, listen to what he has to say. Listen to him. But then there's this attention now. Jesus turns to the crowd. To what can I compare this generation? You. You're like children sitting in the marketplaces calling out to others. We played the pipe for you. You didn't dance. We sang a dirge and you didn't mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. Son of man came eating and drinking, and they say here's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. Basically, Jesus is saying, wait and see. You'll see. Just hang on. So moms, hear Jesus say, well done. After the questions, even in the midst of the questions, there's this response, there's this tribute that Jesus, as your encourager, as his spirit is your paraclete, the one who comes alongside you to encourage you, he's going to be whispering to you encouragements. He's going to be whispering to you tribute. He's going to say, do you have any idea how much I value what you've done? All those heart decisions, all those choices you've made, all those sacrifices you made, I've seen them. The ones that others have missed, I've seen them. And in those quiet pauses, after you run that mile of sacrifice and stress and ministry and life, there needs to be a pause, moms, where you're quiet and you hear your shepherd say, well done. I see and I know. Please be encouraged. I do know, I do see. So if you know a mom, there's a message here for you and for me. If you know a mom, speak it. Be the mouth of Jesus. Be the verbal witness of Jesus to a mom, yours or another, and say, I see it. I notice it. I'm going to speak it. Went to a newsstand, talked to Brian. I said, hey, Brian, I saw this stand, this Time magazine cover, and it talked about 100 most influential people that Time does. And Brian Schultz said, I've seen that. I have a copy. Look at the copy Brian has. Look at that. Yes. Amy Schultz. One of Time's 100 most influential people. Moms, you could be on that cover. Moms, you could be on that cover. You need to hear Jesus speak that to you. You need to hear Jesus' estimation of your value and your worth and the impact of your life. You need to hear your Heavenly Father speak this to you. You are one of the most influential people on the face of this planet. Those of us that know a mom, we've got to take this seriously. You know how difficult it is for a mom to keep perspective. You know it. You've seen it. So step up and express God's perspective to them. Speak those words. Figure out what it is. Do not stay silent. Speak to a mom in your life and you say, you know what, mom? Speak those words. So mom, I can't just say that and not do it. My mom is here. Mom, you have loved hundreds upon hundreds of babies in your life. There was a grandmother 2 weeks ago, heard that somebody was going to be with mom and goes, oh, she's a grandmother. She says, oh, you get to see Nanny Joe? She remembers Nanny Joe because Nanny Joe has now mothered been in the nursery grandmothers. You know why she wears blousy sleeves and stuff? Because she's got guns under those. Have you seen her biceps? Thank you. Wow. Even before I ask. Thank you. I should do the Shelley thing with this bottle of water thing. But thank you. Loved hundreds of babies. Mom, and I honor you for that. But the mother of my wife is also here today. Ruth, you need to know how much I am in awe of how you have responded to life. Jim, her husband, may not know this. George Allen, the coach of the Redskins. Out of all the builders in this area, George Allen said, I want Jim Reed to build my house. So Jim Reed built George Allen's home back in the day. that has built some of the finest custom homes in this area. But then a controller at his car dealership embezzled probably several hundred thousands of dollars from him over the years. And they're in a radically different place financially. So she has walked through this time with humor and coupons. So coupons have become her new best friend. But she, Mom, you have, Ruth, you have walked through these days with great, great dignity, great humor, and I am amazed at that. But the mother of my children is also here. You have walked through some fresh challenges with your health, with cancer. You've never done that before. And like I said in that card, I have not valued my time and who you are more than I have today. Because I've seen a strength in new circumstances I've never seen before. And a power of wisdom that just is amazing. So thank you, and I love you. Yeah, done. Yeah, she just gave me the signals. All right, enough. That took all of a few minutes. It doesn't take long, and it doesn't need to be extravagant. You can do this. If you know a mom, you can do this. You can speak to someone that you know and be the verbalizer of the heart of Jesus to them. Hear him say, "Well done, moms." So bring your questions, your expectations. So, but moms also, a little harder place a little bit. Moms, be prepared to change your mind. Be prepared, moms, to repent. Because right after Jesus starts talking about John, he goes into this passage. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. They didn't change their minds. Jesus, the Messiah, goes into these towns and does this amazing series and sequence of miracles. And the people in these towns do not change their mind about him. And he denounces them because they didn't repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago. That was like almost the epitome of a sinful city. They would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it would be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. Again, another city, the epitome of sin. But I tell you that it would be more bearable for Sodom on that day of judgment than for you. Moms, there needs to be a hearing of these words from Jesus too. Well, are there areas in your life? Has Jesus shown up in your life and you really haven't changed your thinking and your mind? Has there not been a repentance in your life that Jesus is saying, that needs to happen? Needs to happen. Listen to this interesting dynamic that Peter has as he, the Apostle Peter, after he and John had healed in Acts, he's speaking to the crowd about them just witnessing this healing. Interesting dynamic in Acts 3:19. Peter, this is Peter, the Apostle Peter speaking to the people there in Jerusalem. Repent. Change your mind about who Jesus is. You just saw him heal somebody. And turn to God. Repent. Turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, so that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. See moms, us in general, anybody, if we want to know the rest of Jesus, the pause that refreshes, brings that refreshment to our souls, one of the key dynamics to that refreshment is repentance. Because some of us, maybe, moms, us, may be hanging on to mindsets and patterns that Jesus is saying change, And you're saying, no, I don't think so. I'm just going to keep on thinking this, and I'm not going to repent and change. And that very dynamic is not restful. It actually is a drain emotionally, physically, spiritually. When we choose to not repent and change what Jesus is speaking to us, that takes energy. That's not restful. So moms, if you want to know the rest of Jesus, the pause that gives strength and refreshment, there may need to be some repentance. And it may be completely tied to that whole pause deal. Because you see, it's in that pause, it's that quietness that Jesus speaks. But if you as a mom are just running 100 miles an hour all day from one thing to the next, and you're not choosing to pause and listen to Jesus, and I use the word choosing in particular because you may be excusing your lack of pause. You may be saying, do you know my schedule? I've got to. I don't have time. And you're excusing a lack of pause, a lack of quietness where you can hear Jesus speak to you. Is that possibly true for you? Have you been excusing a lack of quietness before God? And he's saying, do you repent of that? Change. Own it. Say, yes, I am choosing to run too fast. And I will own responsibility to govern my schedule in such a way that I will have time. I will know. Repent. Change your mind. Where is God calling you to do that? But then the third way that God wants to bring rest to you moms is this. He wants you to step into that yoke. There's a metaphor, there's a picture, there's an image here that Jesus is getting ready to take us into. But I want to bring that image up to the front. It's of a yoke. You're going to hear Jesus when we read just a moment. Take my yoke upon you. Here's a yoke. It's a wooden deal where two animals would get in. This is the image that Jesus wants in our head when he says, take my yoke upon me, you. Live this way. Live with this knowledge and this awareness that you are stepping into life. You are living life yoked with Jesus. It's not just up to you. You have Jesus in your yoke, and you're moving ahead. What happens when that takes place? First of all, when you're, you can keep this up. Oh, yeah, we got to do the scripture. Yeah, keep that in your mind, please. One of the things that happens when we are yoked with Jesus, moms, when you're yoked with Jesus, one of the things he will do is he will reveal the Father to you. Listen to this, 25 to 27. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father. He just abruptly goes into praise right now. At this time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned and proud people, and you've revealed them to humble, contrite children of heart. Yes, Father, this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. All the wisdom of the ages has been committed unto Jesus by his heavenly Father. Nobody knows the Son except the Father. Nobody knows Jesus better than the Father. And no one knows the Father better than the Son. And those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. What an amazing statement. One of the things that takes place when we're yoked with Jesus, when we take time and we listen to him as we go through life together, he will reveal the Father to us, to you. Moms, when you have pause and quiet times and you're listening to Jesus, one of the things that will happen is Jesus will remind you of your Heavenly Father. When you're walking through a difficult time, when you're going through a challenging time, you will hear, remember the Father, trust him. You will hear from Jesus, he's strong. I know you feel weak, but he's strong. I know you don't see the whole picture, but he's sovereign. He is sovereign over all these events in your life right now. You're going to hear that from Jesus. You're going to hear from Jesus saying, I know you're wringing your hands, but he's not. Your heavenly Father is not wringing his hands right now about how things are going to turn out. He's not. You can rest. But moms, if you're not taking that pause, if you're running too fast, you're not going to hear that. You're not going to hear Jesus reveal the Father to you. All of us. So those of us that know a mom, are you encouraging them to pause? Are you encouraging them in a very practical way? Say, let me do this so that you can do this, so that you can pause. What role? You can't take their responsibility. It's up to them, moms, to choose to be quiet and to have pause. But there are ways that we might help that out. There might be ways that you could say, let me do this. And that might give you an hour or two to pause. That might be it. The other thing that will happen in that yoke is you will hear from Jesus as he turns to you. And I love this image of being in this yoke and turning and having Jesus in that other part of the yoke speaking to you. He will let you know this. Come to me. If you're weary, if you're tired, speaking to you, mom, come. He says, come to me. I know you're exhausted. It's the other word for weary. Exhausted. And I know you have loads on you. You're burdened. I understand that. I know those loads. I know those burdens. And I will give you rest. I will give you refreshment. I will give you rejuvenation, new strength. I will give that to you. So take my yoke upon you. Step into that yoke. That has a deliberate nature to that encouragement. There's a deliberateness. Step into that yoke. Take that yoke upon you. And in many ways, what Jesus is speaking to here, one is the first step into that yoke of just being in relationship with God through Jesus. Two ways to live life. We can live a hard life trying to please God with our good behavior, with doing good things, and hope that somehow they add up. And God says, okay, your good's better than your bad, so yeah, come on in. And we live all our lives wondering if our good is adding up or outweighing our bad. That's a hard way to live life. That's wearisome. We're always working, and we're never sure what God's perspective is toward us. That's one way to live life. When Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, he's inviting us to live a radically different way. The yoke of Jesus is also a yoke of grace, where Jesus says, you can't do anything. You're best riches is like filthy rags. You just can't. Let me just receive my grace. It's a gift to you. So we live our lives from a position of grace and gift of grace from Jesus to us. Forgiveness. Radically different way of living life. So that's one way to step into the yoke, just to be in relationship with Jesus. The other way to step into the yoke is every day. Every day, live with this sense that, okay, it's only by grace. It's only by grace, Jesus. I know you're humble, you're gentle. Communicate that to me. Eugene Peterson, in his translation of this, talks about the unforced rhythms of grace. That's how Jesus describes life with him. It's unforced. The Pharisees forced people into works of righteousness. Jesus, it's unforced. The Pharisees had rhythms of work and labor and strenuous activity in order to please God. Jesus is unforced rhythms of grace. I give you righteousness. I give you grace. Unforced rhythms of grace. Gentle and humble in heart. But then this yoke is also well fitted. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That is the easy way to live life, knowing that grace is covering your sin and has nothing to do with your performance. We just live. There's a lightness to the grace life. It's easy, and the burden is light. But that a way that you could interpret easy is well-fitted. Well-fitted. Fascinating word, especially with yokes. Because you can see the wood, what carpenters would do in the day of Jesus, which they would take these big rough pieces of lumber, and they would take their ox, and they would shape that wood to fit the particular ox, the neck of that animal. It was a very tailored yoke, so to speak. And that's what good carpenters would do. And somebody once said that, you know, Jesus was a carpenter for 30 years. Most of that 30 years. But the sign about above his little shop could have said, Jesus, carpenter, my yokes are well fitted. My yokes are well fitted. Jesus has the real skill of shaping the yoke, our walk of life, so that it fits us. It's not too much, it's not too light, it's just right. Your yoke is well fitted. Jesus has shaped the load on you well. Fits well. Have to know that. You know what? One of the things that I have to, you might have to repent of, is comparisons. If I only had those kids. If I only had that schedule. If I only had her schedule, yeah, I would be okay. If I had her kids, I would be okay. If I had her husband, no, we can't go there. No. No. The Ten Commandments say something about that. But we compare. Oh, if only I had that life, I could do it. We've got to stop comparing our life to others and say, oh, it would be so much better. No, that's of the enemy. No, it's your cup. It's your yoke. Stop the comparisons and embrace the yoke, the life, the cup that God has given you. It's yours. And he is shaping it so that it fits just right. But keep in mind that it's not a single yoke. It's a double yoke. Walking through life together with Jesus, hearing him. It's well fitted for you. So moms, the encouragement from Jesus is simply this. He wants you to know rest. He wants you to know refreshment, re-strengthening of your days. But he also knows that that has to come through a pause. It has to come from a ceasing of activity. After you've run the mile, you stop. You pause. The other thing is this is not a super mystical deal. It's time in the Word of God so that Jesus can say, you remember that verse that you just thought about? That description of God, he's bringing that up to you. It's time in the Word, listening to the Spirit, listening to the Word. So moms, do that. It will be refreshing to your souls. If you know a mom, encourage them to build those pauses with the Lord, with the Word, in a regular way. If you need help figuring out what that looks like, work around, ask around to do that. So let's read this prayer before we sing our last song. The last song is of a particular point. It's simply this: Lord, here's my heart. Speak what is true. Speak truth to me. So let's read this prayer together. Let's go ahead and stand while Robbie and the team comes up here. Let's read this together out loud. Lord, I admit that I've been trying to pull the whole load by myself, and I simply can't do it any longer. I have given every ounce of my strength, and now I need you to come alongside me and help me finish the task that is before me. I'm willing to do it, but I must have your help if I'm going to do it with all my heart and finish it all the way to the end. So today, I'm asking you to become yoked with me in my job, my business, my ministry, my family, and in all my personal affairs. Jesus, please do that. We step into the yoke with you. Please give rest as we pause and hear you. Please encourage and bless moms, especially today. In Jesus' name, amen.